This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack, now extended until the end of August. Order today at EdenPure.com and don't forget to use code word HOWIE3.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Very excited about my next guest. She's becoming a bit of a regular on the Grace Curley Show, which makes me very happy. Dr. Nan Hayworth, thank you so much for joining the show.
Grace, it is my privilege, and I've been listening, of course, and I share your and your listeners' horror at and disbelief at what's going on in our world.
Yeah, and specifically, Doctor, I'd like to talk about Australia, because the numbers there are really mind-boggling how they're still doing this. They have 5.3 million people there, and they've had 96 deaths, and they're locking down. They're telling people not to shop online. Yeah. They're killing dogs so that people don't come and rescue them. I mean, I understand that obviously we're going to ask you about masks and the medical world, but let's just talk about mental health here. Have people completely lost their minds?
Well, it certainly feels as though people have, I know that there are some Australians who are fighting these authoritarian measures, but we're left to assume, and of course Australia is a much smaller population than that of the United States. New Zealand is doing the same thing. Just insanely authoritarian, brutal authoritarian repression with a complete lack of perspective, a lack of scientific reasoning, a lack of any data or evidence to support the validity of these measures, to say nothing of the effects, the adverse effects that they have that are clearly definable. In so many ways, as Americans, certainly, you'd expect Americans would find it hard to believe. But let's not forget, the Australians allowed their guns to be confiscated. They don't have the same mentality about citizens' rights and citizens' power that we do and that we are blessed to have because of our incomparable Constitution and Bill of Rights.
No, you're absolutely right. That's a great point. Doctor, the other thing I did want to ask you about is this incredible story from South Florida about 75 doctors walking out in protest as their hospital is flooded with unvaccinated people. And the response from a lot of people in the mainstream media and on the terrible place that is known as Twitter is, well, good. That's what these people deserve for not getting vaccinated. They should be refused medical treatment. As a doctor, what do you think of this?
Very dangerous place to go, Grace, and if you do want to go there, then let's see how you do with the obese, who, let's not forget, make up, unfortunately, a fair proportion of those who are most severely affected by COVID. You know, arguably, you could try a heavy-handed approach with the obese, with smokers, with drug abusers, with people whose sex practices are unsafe. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you could extend this if you really want to go there. I don't think we do, and I'm a physician. Physicians, we take an oath, the Hippocratic Oath. We cannot turn away the sick. Whatever, we can't, that's not the time to make the character judgment, because we could really take this a long, long way. Reckless drivers. I mean, think about it, Grace. So this is a very, very dangerous road to go down. And especially, you know, Grace, I could understand a panic if this were Ebola virus, right? You know, the beginning of COVID, we didn't know exactly what we were dealing with. I've issued an amnesty, I think many of us have, first couple of months of COVID. We get it. Everybody was figuring this out. COVID, objectively, even if we take away the theoretical and moral dimensions of this, which should not be, it shouldn't be isolated from those. But let's just take those away. COVID is not the disease for which this kind of draconian authoritarian approach is in any way remotely warranted.
Right. And you did see a lot of nurses now who are being mandated to get the vaccine. A lot of nurses were speaking up and going, wait a second, I was good enough to work here before a vaccine was even created. And you guys didn't seem to care then if I was spreading it or getting it. But now I'm going to get fired if I choose not to get it. There does seem to be a double standard there.
Oh, there is, Grace. And again, it's especially from the standpoint of what sector of our endeavors are we talking about? The healthcare sector. You know, we're supposed to be data driven, right? You know, we're supposed to be evidence based. And if nothing else, we have completely abandoned. For reasons that I don't understand, the whole concept of natural immunity being at least as effective. There are no data to indicate that natural immunity is inferior to vaccine-induced immunity, and in fact, it may very well be. It could be expected to be superior to it. So at the very least, offer your employees the opportunity to have tests for either antibodies, which indicate B-cell activity. Those eventually fade, and then you're left with the T-cell memory. You know, you can get a T-cell test. Let that be a substitute. But you're right, Grace. The personal protective measures that have been undertaken in healthcare have been very effective. If you wear an N95 mask, feel fully around, no virus aerosols or anything else are going to enter or exit your body. The filter will capture them. You can't infect people that way, and you can't be infected that way, basically, if it's worn properly. And, you know, healthcare providers know how to do that. This makes no sense, Grace. The only way it makes sense, I hate to say it, and, you know, it sounds apocalyptic, but is that this is the advance of authoritarianism in every single way our society will allow it.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, at this point, what I've seen a lot of people, you know, on social media and politicians asking these Democrats is, what's the end game here? Like, if this is just to keep people in their homes forever, we should know that so we can fight against it. I'm speaking with Dr. Nan Haworth. I'm sure you guys are going to want to look her up. She's a fabulous follow on Twitter, at Nan Haworth. A story from the New York Times that came out last week that I did find a little amusing, because we talk about the plexiglass here at the Howie Carr Radio Network and at the Grace Curley Show a lot. The plexiglass was always strange. I mean, I never understood it. A study was coming out, or multiple studies came out that showed that plexiglass wasn't effective. And there's all this talk about following science, and if you're a science denier or you're a grandma killer. And I had to wonder when I saw that study, are we going to start hearing about the effectiveness of masks in 6 months? I mean, I know that people go back and forth on that. But I had a caller today, Nan, who was saying, you know, a lot of these people talk about masks and masks and masks, but they don't talk about the fact that you're not getting a lot of ventilation. You're not getting a lot of air in your lungs. Do you think that we're going to hear more about this in the future?
You know, Grace, as with all things, there's nuance here. Masks for ordinary folks doing ordinary activities are not a physiological imposition. That's just true. I'm a surgeon. You know, I spent a lot of my practice life in a mask. It may not be fun, and it certainly can make your glasses fog up, which is why surgeons tape the nasal part of their mask. But is it harmful to gas exchange? Really not. Even an N95 and healthcare providers have proven that. Now, if you need to get huge volumes of air in one breath, runners, athletes, things like that, you know, arguably a mask might be an imposition in that way. And it's entirely true that unless you're wearing an N95 mask, fully sealed, your mask is not really protective for you. It can catch a sneeze, it can catch droplets, that's true. But, you know, the people we're worried about, it's not going to help. And not only that, but your sneeze and your droplets, if your mask, even if it's not an N95, isn't fully sealed, they're going to get out there. The evidence against plexiglass, against so-called social distancing, actually came out of Massachusetts. And they did a study, and they found that aerosols, basically viruses, will cling to dust particles. They'll cling to moisture in the air, and they will travel quite efficiently 60 feet or more based on air circulation patterns. They don't care about your plexiglass. They don't care about your 6 feet away. They are going to travel around where they see fit in an indoors environment. So the whole thing is a farce.
Don't tell Charlie Baker that that study came out of Massachusetts. He's a big fan of the plexiglass, big plexiglass guy. Dr. Nan, I like what you said, though, about masks, unless you're wearing it perfectly, because all I think about is at the beginning of this pandemic, there was a photo taken of Ben Affleck, and I never related more. I'm not a smoker, but Ben Affleck had his mask kind of like near his eyeballs, and he was lifting up his mask to smoke a cigarette. And I thought, that really is kind of a way of summarizing how most people are wearing their masks. They're wearing it for the sake of wearing it, but not that it actually helps with anything. But what I do want to talk about in regards to the masks and the effects they have, and as far as the lockdowns go in general, we can talk about, you know, the effectiveness of the droplets and the masks and whatever. But here's a real fact. Suicide attempts by children have spiked during the pandemic, especially among girls. Tell me what you think about this, and are you surprised?
No, not at all, Grace. And it's a terrible, terrible phenomenon to witness. Let's face it, Grace, you know, and I grew up, I'm like older than you are, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and we had TV, we had radio, obviously, we had our telephones, but we didn't have social media, we didn't have cell phones, you know, we didn't have the computers, we didn't have the endless distractions, all the magnification of that. It seems to be bad news and insults and hurts travel faster and bigger than good things do. The kids have to deal with today before the pandemic. Now we have socially isolated them. Now we have imparted from the highest levels of government and from the medical establishment that living a normal life is a deadly thing. I mean, that is insane. The only message that should be coming out of government is, folks, resume life in full. We strongly recommend you get the vaccine if you don't have natural immunity. We also strongly recommend you get an immunity test. If you're in a particular risk category, we know who you folks are, you may want to take extra precautions, because if you catch COVID, it could be a very serious thing. So, you know, for you, you're going to want to make sure you get vaccinated, et cetera. Everybody else, and basically everybody on the planet, resume life. You've got to do this. There's much more to life than fearing COVID. And this is a bad, bad thing. And get these kids out. Get them to full-time school. Get the teachers' unions out of there, because the teachers' unions are the extortion division of the Democrat Party. And they have been trying to exploit this crisis shamelessly and shamefully to the detriment of the children they're supposed to prioritize, in order to siphon as much funding out of the public's pockets as they possibly can. Get them out.
Absolutely. Dr. Hayworth, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show. You're always a phenomenal guest. We hope to have you on very soon.
My privilege, Grace. Thank you for your voice.
I've had my fair share of free lunches, but Aviva Trattoria is the best. Thursdays are your chance to win a free lunch from Aviva by listening to Woke or Joke. It's always a fun time. We had Howie fill in last week, but the Wizard of Woke will be back this week, so make sure you tune in. And we always have VIPs in here once a week for my show, and we bring in a huge spread. Aviva brings in this incredible spread. Cannolis, sandwiches, pastas, salads. It's all delicious. I try to pick a favorite, Jared. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, I love the pizzas. I love the short herb risotto too. And I'm actually lucky with any mask mandates, because I would just take the mask down once and that pizza would be gone in 30 seconds and it'd be right back up. So I wouldn't even have to worry about
it. It's the kind of pizza you really can inhale. All the food is amazing. And the restaurants themselves, there's five locations: Marlboro, Maynard, Wrentham, Westford, and Malden. Beautiful. Beautiful restaurants. Jared and I have both been to these restaurants. The staff is incredible. You feel like you're dining pre-pandemic. Like, everyone's happy and there's all these options and the food's delicious and the servers are, you know, so upbeat and they make you feel right at home. It's a great place to be and I highly recommend it. By the way,
do yourself a favor, get the Aviva Mai Tai or one of their sangrias.
Oh man, I didn't know that they had a Mai Tai.
Oh, the Aviva Mai Tai is good.
Oh, I might be making a call right now. Marcy, I'm coming to Aviva tonight. Yeah, so make sure you check it out. And by the way, in Malden, they do have free parking. It's behind the restaurant. So make sure you park at the Jackson Street Garage. Get your ticket validated. With nice weather finally here, you can enjoy their outdoor patio and perhaps a glass of their famous sangria. Or you could take Jared's advice and get a little Mai Tai. Follow them on Instagram or visit their website at AvivaTrattoria.com. We will be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. A lot more to get to before we end the show today. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
President of the United States once again running away from the podium after talking about vaccines instead of what the reporters would like him to be talking about, which is Afghanistan and all the turmoil that's happening there. A great piece in National Review, Joe Biden is who we said he was, really breaks down how everyone should have known. And a lot of people did know just how bad he was, but I just think that people were so deranged from their hatred for Trump that they allowed this guy to get in there. And it's sad. It's sad seeing all of this turmoil in Afghanistan and knowing that this was an unforced error. I mean, there were so many other ways this could have gone, but he decided. He tells us multiple times it was his idea. By the way, he's standing in front of a banner that says vaccines.gov. That's the website, vaccines.gov. You don't need to write it down for me. I don't need a teleprompter because I've heard him try to get it right about 6 times. He once famously said vaccines.gum. Today he had a new one. Do we have it, Jared? All right, we're coming up with it now. He messed it up yet again.
If you go to vaccines.com, vaccines.com.
Vaccines.com. He's standing in front of a massive step and repeat, like banner type deal that says vaccines.gov. And he still said vaccines.com.
If you go to vaccines.com.
I mean, it's
.com, .gov, .gum. There's so many to keep track of.
Oh, there's so much to keep track of nowadays. I mean, that is absolutely true. Let's do the poll question here because I do want to play some of these Kirby cuts. I'm going to try to boost him up in the polls right now. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Besides Joe and Kamala, who is the weakest link? Lloyd Austin, Antony Blinken, John Kirby, General Milley, or Jake Sullivan?
I'm saying John Kirby, the Pentagon secretary. When I see him doing these news reports every day, he doesn't know how many people are in Afghanistan. He can't tell you this. He can't tell you that. He refers you to so-and-so. The guy looks like he's on an SNL skit. I'm saying Kirby.
Pentagon press secretary John Kirby still only polling at 4%. Antony Blinken in the lead at 43%. Followed by General Thoroughly Modern Milley at 34%.
Well, let's try to boost Kirby here. We're going to play a couple cuts. This is his comments on the August 31st deadline, cut 22.
Has the Taliban told you that August 31st is the deadline and that you must leave then? Are those communications happening? Is that something you've agreed to with the Taliban?
We've seen the public statements by the Taliban spokesman about their views on the 31st of August. I think we all understand that view.
Oh, wow. Care to elaborate a little bit? Let's also play cut 23.
Why not use the Pakistanis and the Qataris to help bring people out from... Because right now you're just bringing people out from Kabul, and it's a choke point.
Well, first of all, the throughput has improved and increased. And I'm not going to... I don't think it would be a useful... expenditure of our time to Monday morning quarterback the whole issue with Bagram. It was closed down as part of the retrograde.
Well, I don't really consider this Monday morning quarterbacking just yet. It's kind of an ongoing situation, you know?
Yeah, it's still the fourth quarter. It's not Monday morning yet.
Yeah, the fans haven't gone home yet. Maybe we can still talk about what's happening here. I know it was 4 or 5 days ago, but some of us are still pretty concerned. All right, guys, we have a lot more to get to on the other side. Call in, voice your opinion, 844-500-4242. It's Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back. Jake Sullivan, also in the running in our poll question, is on right now, so... I'm sorry, John Kirby, you might not have a shot, because once this kid takes the podium, all bets are off. They're all playing Baghdad Bob right now. It doesn't matter what questions they get. They don't want a Monday morning quarterback. You know, they don't want to focus on the wrong things. And the press is getting fed up. It only took them a couple years to come around to the sane side of things. I do want to get to this. If there's anything really worth noting that Jake Sullivan says, we will play it. But there's a piece in the National Review I've been talking about a little bit here. And the last paragraph of it really stuck out to me. Britt Hume actually tweeted it out. Dan McLaughlin writes, "It is long past time for people to notice who Joe Biden always was and who he has become in his dotage. He is a hollow man incapable of managing a picnic, let alone a war. His credibility, always unearned, is shot. His only real skill is his quick tongue, and it has deserted him. Even his one-time virtues, his old-timey patriotism, his faith in institutions, his empathy for others, are easily discarded as the old man reverts to his base instincts when cornered." And actually, just a brief note here, in this piece, Dan breaks down all the times where when Joe Biden was pushed back, because he does have such a glass jaw, he snapped back at people. When he was accused, rightfully accused, of plagiarizing years ago, decades ago, that was his famous, "I have a higher IQ than you." And remember when the, I think it was a union guy, stopped him and was asking him about Second Amendment, and he started yelling at that guy, putting his finger in his face. We saw him recently with Caitlin Collins when she asked about his meeting with Putin. Came out like a pit bull. He doesn't have a good temper. He doesn't like to be criticized. He's an absolute phony. So he says, Dan writes, even his one-time virtues are easily discarded as the old man reverts to his base instincts when cornered. Biden must hobble through the remainder of his presidency, if only because, and this is what we all know to be true, the alternative is Kamala Harris, his imprudent choice or threat of an heir. But nobody should any longer pretend that Joe Biden is fit to lead this nation. And the perfect example of that, if you could summarize it in a picture, it would be the picture of him walking away from the podium. The shiny back of his head, that little bald spot he has. That would be the picture. And I saw today somebody tweeted it out and said this should be his presidential portrait. It's just him from the back, walking away back to his handlers, back to his ice cream, back to Camp David, back to Delaware, you know, anywhere but here. Now, there's a lot of news. There's a lot of COVID updates. As I mentioned earlier, the FDA has granted full approval to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. And there's, you know, news with Afghanistan. The Taliban is saying that they will not let the United States push back the August 31st deadline, calling it a red line. There's the stories about Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer rubbing it in our faces. I mean, Chuck Schumer, to be fair, when he was dancing with Stephen Colbert, he did have a mask on, but Stephen Colbert did not, which really upset me. I know he's sophisticated. I know he didn't. I know he got uninvited from Obama's party. And so this is his lame version of it. It's not as cool. Dancing in Central Park with Chuck Schumer is not up to par with Obama's big birthday bash super spreader. And then, of course, Nancy Pelosi has her huge fundraiser where all her white rich donors are out and about sitting next to each other, elbow to elbow, and no masks. But don't worry, the servers had masks on. So there's all those stories, and I could go on and on about them. But it feels like on Cuomo's last day, it wouldn't be right to not have a moment, you know, have at least one segment where we say goodbye to the LoveGov. Goodbye, stranger. It's been nice tried to see your point of view. I don't know if I hope his dreams come true, because I don't know what his dreams would be. He had a really weird weekend. So today he talked about how he's leaving. Someone told him it'd be a good idea to have a farewell address. Or I'm sure multiple people told him it would be a bad idea, and he just told himself it would be a good idea. Like, no, this last, guys, trust me. This last time when I go out in front of the cameras, this is going to salvage it. I just need one more press conference. I wonder if he asked them, like, can I wear my leather bomber jacket? They all really liked that a couple months ago. Maybe that will turn this around. It didn't. But before we get to his farewell speech today, Jared, if you don't mind, I actually want to start with his press conference over the weekend. So he's preparing for Henri, Hurricane Henri. And he gives a press conference. And what's hysterical is Janice Dean was tweeting about it, because Janice Dean is one of his biggest enemies. She openly admits, you know, she's not a fan of Andrew Cuomo. She has consistently brought up his shortcomings and demanded justice. Both her in-laws died in a New York nursing home. And his spokespeople really tried to discredit her. At one point, one of them said, she's not an accurate source on anything except maybe the weather. Well, it was funny because over the weekend, he was trying to read the weather maps and saying how hard it was. And Janice Dean was having a ha-ha kind of moment. And she said, he's not an accurate source on anything, especially the weather. But it was really weird. It was a typical Cuomo press conference. A lot of talk about himself. He also mentioned his little bro. And let's just go through some of these, because I actually thought these were weirder than today's comments. Cuomo talking about first Joe Biden cut 12.
So thank you very much, President Biden, who is a good man and a good soul. I've known him a long time, and he is just fundamentally a person who always does the right thing on a human level and a personal level.
Oh, wow. With compliments coming from Joe Biden, I don't know what more you need. I mean, from Andrew Cuomo. It's like that old expression, with friends like these, who needs enemies? This is almost as good as Pelosi heaping praise on Lynn Cheney. You know, you imagine the Biden administration, they're sitting around the table eating Jen Psaki's mother-in-law's cookies. They're brainstorming, you know, this looks bad, guys. They're still not coming around. They're still talking about Afghanistan. It's been 4 or 5 days and they're still talking about it. And then someone gets the alert. Andrew Cuomo praises Joe Biden. Sweet Jesus! We can't get a break here! Please stop! Stop complimenting Joe!
Kamala, set to full guffaw.
All right, now let's play. He has to mention his brother Chris, you know? Because if he's going to win over people, why not his little brother, who most people are calling to also resign from his job at CNN. Cut 13.
But 4 to 5 feet is nothing to take lightly. 3 to 5 feet in the sound is nothing to take lightly. I told my brother, who lives out on Long Island, take his boat out of the water. He did not listen. Now he can go put many lines on his boat. The storm surge we are watching.
His brother, I love how he tries to say that, you know, my brother on Long Island, that's Chris Cuomo from CNN in the Hamptons. And he's trying to relate to you by saying, I called my brother Chris Cuomo, the other jerk you guys can't stand, who lives in the Hamptons, where he pretended to quarantine even though he was out fighting with fat tire bikers and getting preferential COVID testing. Remember that guy? I called him and told him to get his fancy boat out of the water for this hurricane. And he didn't listen to me because I'm a massive pervert slash creep who's destroyed New York. That's just a Grace Curley translation, though. It depends which language you want to translate this into. That's just mine. Yeah, we know who Chris Cuomo is. Unfortunately, we're all very aware. Talk about trying to relate to the regular people.
Yeah, I know how bad these storms can be. I called my little brother to get the yacht out of the water in the Hamptons. It's going to get crushed. He didn't listen to me.
Politicians are just like us.
Seriously. And then he tells a really weird story. Cut 14.
Next scene, cynical man is at the pearly gates. and he meets our maker. And our maker says, welcome to the pearly gates. And the cynical man says, well, thank you. It's good to be here. It's better than the alternative. But, you know, I'm confused. I went to church every Sunday. I'm a God-fearing man. I thought you would take care of me. And our maker turns back to the cynical man and says, you're confused. I'm confused. I sent a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What happened? So there's only so much we can do. It's up to you.
Oh, the humility of this man never ceases to amaze. And by the way, that was just the end. Jared saved us from the first 3 minutes that led to that hilarious ending.
Yeah, it's the old story. There's a guy on the roof during a flood who believes that God's going to save him. So he says no to a truck, a boat, and a helicopter, and then he gets to heaven. And that's all. That I summarized it. That's how you do it, Gov. You don't do a three-minute soliloquy.
I just want to let you know that back, if he had said that joke a year ago, oh my gosh.
The hyenas would have been cackling.
Oh my gosh! Vogue would have said, why, this joke shows that Cuomo is the husband we all need. America's boyfriend strikes again. Chelsea Handler's like, marry me! That's what the reaction would have been. And now it's just... You could hear a pin drop. Nothing. It's kind of a beautiful thing. Let's also go, though, to today's, where he said goodbye. Jared, I'm looking at this, and the only one I'm tempted to play is either the... I think cut 13.
Thank you. Thank you for the honor of serving as governor of New York. Thank you for allowing me to represent you. Thank you for empowering me to fight for you. Thank you for trusting me through COVID. Thank you for making New York State the progressive capital of the nation. Thank you for vindicating E.B. White's words, often quoted by my father, God rest his soul, when he said, quote, New York is to the nation what the white church spire is to the village, the visible symbol of aspiration and faith, the white plume saying the way is up. Thank you for the honor of serving you.
His dad said that?
Can I have a response on the behalf of, I know I'm not from New York, but I was there this weekend and I think I got the gist of what's happening there. Can I speak for the people of New York and respond to that beautiful soliloquy? Oh my gosh, the cat's got my tongue. I want to respond to that monologue. It's an easier way to say it. Thanks for nothing, Governor Cuomo. Now can we change the name of the bridge back, please? Goodbye. That's all we need to know. Are you going to change the name? If he wanted to do one last thing, you know, he's trying to do all these last things to prove he's a hero. Change the name of the bridge back. Make Howie Carr happy on your way out. Change the name back. Tappan Zee. Tappan Zee. John, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, you know what that kiss up to Biden was? That was for the pardon if he needs it.
Oh, very, very true, John. I don't know, though. I think by the time the pardon situation rolls around, Biden's going to be like, who are you again? Huh? Where am I?
Well, he does that now.
Yeah, that's true.
Have a good one.
Thank you, John. I think you make a good point there. It is strange. I mean, if someone's going to be praising me, the last one I want is Andrew Cuomo. All right, now, due to the great success of the Eat Impure 3-pack bundle, the Thunderstorm special will last until the end of August. But the end of August, Jared, it's almost here.
Yeah, it's what, Wednesday, Tuesday?
It is going to come up on us very quickly, and so you want to get on this right now. I mean, this is a great product. I'm going to hold it up for the Rumble cameras. This is a great product. It's small, but it's effective. And I think, Jared, we both get the question a lot. Jared was just showing me a text message from an old friend. Does it work? We've answered that. Yes, it works. But let's kind of explain to people, Jared, how it works.
Right. So you've seen other air purifiers or whatever that have big filters and you know, or something that covers up the smell, air fresheners and things like that. Well, that's not how this works. This actually cleans the air. It sends out ions, which ionizes the air and creates a super oxygen. And the super oxygen, What it does is it gets rid of allergens and pollutants, pollen, odors, some viruses, just all the nasty stuff you don't want to be breathing. And it works great because you just turn... See, I feel like I'm Andrew Cuomo now.
Yeah, it's contagious, right? Isn't it? That way of talking. Yes. I know. It's got my tongue, too.
But you just... Now, listen, folks, you plug it in, you turn it on, Mama's meatball smell still there, but you know, sometimes. No, but you turn it, you plug it in, you turn it on, and it starts ionizing that air within minutes, and you get clean, super oxygen to breathe.
You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. And you know, he said, thank you. But I just want to say, someone who he kind of forgot in that whole speech, you know, he mentions a lot of people, Joe Biden. I just want to know what happened to that Q-tip, to that giant Q-tip. I'm scared to think about it.
It's being donated to the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
It's going to be there with the blue suit from the Capitol.
Yes.
All right, guys, we'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, we've covered pretty much everything today, from Nancy Pelosi's fundraiser, Fancy People fundraiser, to Andrew Cuomo's farewell address. But one thing that we didn't spend too much time on, but luckily I have someone in here who's an expert on jerks who buy dogs for PR, Howie Carr. And I'm not talking about Howie. Howie bought his dogs because he loves dogs. But he knows a few guys who have done this in the past. Howie Carr, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Grace, The Last Hurrah, the famous novel about James Michael Curley, your ancestor, renamed Skeffington, the guy running against him and finally defeats him, rents an Irish setter for his TV spots. And I remember reading that long time ago and thinking to myself, this is a funny story, but nobody does stuff like this.
Au contraire, mon frère.
But once again, truth has proven to be stranger than fiction.
Andrew Cuomo, an online doghouse after exiting New York governor's mansion without his dog, Captain. Now, there's different reports here. The obvious first take from people is, wow, Andrew Cuomo, he is a jerk. He had this dog, and now he's leaving, and now he's trying to pawn off the dog on other people.
I love the Albany Times Union, which, as I told you, Grace, if they still gave out Pulitzer Prizes legitimately, they would already have a Pulitzer Prize for killing this guy. But they're not going to get an award. But they broke the story, and there's so many good aspects to the story. You know who his kids talked him into the dog, and now the kids are nowhere to be found. Now that he's looking for a place to put the dog.
That's like,
I mean, how many, everybody who's got kids and dogs knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Daddy, I want a dog.
I'll feed it. I'll take it for a walk. Right. And you say, no, you won't.
It's snowing. It's raining. Hey, kid. Come down here.
I'm doing homework, Daddy. You take the dog out.
Seems like you're speaking from some personal experience, sir. But listen to the response from the Cuomo spokesperson to this article. Captain, that's the dog's name. They all have names like Major, Champ, Captain. Captain is part of the governor's family. And for your nameless, ill-informed source to imply they've been trying to give him away is untrue. Someone offered to watch him for a few days while the transition was ongoing.
How bad do they hate the Times Union? This guy said, I'm dealing here with a hurricane and you're asking me crap about some stupid dog. And they describe him as high-strung. You know what that means? That means he bites.
That means nippy. For that to be weaponized and morphed from a game of telephone into the pages of your paper is absurd. Now excuse us, we're preparing for a major storm. You would never do this to Gunnar.
Captain is going to the farm.
Captain, where is my captain? He's abandoned at the mansion. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't miss Howie's show. It's going to be a great one as always. This is the Grace Curley Show.